What up, what up, what up? Back again for another great episode of FTN Fantasy Show. It's Ep 20, bro. We are flying through and it's week 7. Hold up. Put a pause. We are flying by, sir. I mean, I'm already with my lead mates, Okada, talking about playoffs. We're in the group chat. We're getting all playoffs together, just talking trash. Like, we're already pointing at some of our friends, telling them, hey, you're not making playoffs. Because, you know, it's week 6, and some folks, you know, they kind of just give up. Because if you're 0-6, I mean, look, you ain't climbing out of that. You ain't really thinking about playoffs. But the 3-3 teams, we're here to help today, Okada. Like, we're here to help, because this is the one episode that we're unsure about some backfields. But the great thing about this, man, we're going to kick the show off of helping people immediately. Okada, you were out there in the FTN fantasy streets, man, writing it up. You got a great article out there right now, man, and it's telling the fantasy folks major key things they need to know for week 7. I mean, can you help them out with the top 3 most priority things that you wrote about?
I can. I write the 10 things to know every week for FTN heading into each week. Some of them are reflections on the week prior. Some of them are look aheads to the week that is coming. Some are a mix of both. Some are rest of season stuff. So there's lots of goodies in there. Lots of numbers, obviously. We are FTN after all. Good amount of FTN stats hub stuff in there. Yeah. So check it out. Get them all. Here's 3 of my favorites for this week. Number one, and this is number one in the article, although for what it's worth, they're not really ordered by importance. They're just,
I was about to ask. That was my next question. Because like, is number 10 kind of like the fill-in, like, eh?
No, nah, it's more or less the order that I think of them in.
There you go.
But number one, Cowboys games are fantasy treasure troves.
Agree.
Every Cowboys game needs to be heavily targeted in fantasy. Now, this is important for you redraft players because you're going to have a good amount of Cowboys players and a good amount of players, hopefully, on whoever they're playing that week. But also keep in mind, it's a very good DFS nugget. Because obviously in DFS, you want to target high-scoring games. So, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense, they're putting up 29.7 points per game. That is fourth in the league. They are putting up 387 yards per game. That is second in the league. They're also allowing 30.7 points per game, which is second most in the league, and 411.7 yards per game, which is most in the league. So they are basically top 4 in points and yards on both sides of the ball. In Cowboys games, Laquan, 60.3 combined points. That is the average for what they score, what their opponent scores put together. That isn't just the most in the NFL this year, which it is. It is the most by any team, or would be the most by any team in any season since the 2018 Chiefs, who many of you might remember. Those constant fireworks shows. That was 61.6. So if you've got
Rams
Cowboys,
off.
There you go. I was at that game.
Lucky boy.
Best football game I ever went to. Obviously, it was one of the best football games ever, regardless. Anyway, if you've got Cowboys, start them always. If you can go get Cowboys, I would suggest doing it. But more importantly, look to the potential streamers on the other sides of the ball. Last week, you had Bryce Young be streamable. You had Tet McMillan score 2 touchdowns. You had Rico Dowdle obviously do what Rico Dowdle did. This week, it's the Commanders. I would play a whole bunch of players on Washington's team, even though some of the stars are injured. You can probably get good fantasy days out of some of the lesser names.
Luke McCaffrey. Go ahead and slide him on in, because I definitely think he is due for another tutty. And I do think, man, when you look at the Cowboys as a matchup on the week, I just grin. I'm like, ooh, it is blow up week, man, because JCM, a.k.a. Bill, they are sticking with him. They are sticking with him as their guy, and I understand back-to-back weeks might take a player's confidence when it comes to fumbles. Hey, Rams fan here, Kyren Williams is calling. So I do feel at the end of the day, them sticking with him just gives me full confidence that it is a rocket ship strap to JCM, a.k.a. Bill, in this game. Okada, what's number 2? I got to know, because if that's the first thing you thought of, the second thing has to be just as good.
All right, this one is much less general, but it is very important for a particular player, and that is Jaylen Waddle. So if you've got Jalen Waddle, or if Jalen Waddle might be acquirable by trade in your leagues, go give him a look. And here's why. Through the first 4 weeks of the season, when Tyreek Hill was there, obviously, Jalen Waddle's average depth of target, average air yards per target, for anyone who's not aware of how this situation works, was 8.2 yards. Short of the sticks, basically. At least on first down. Whereas Tyreek Hill was at 13.3 yards. Downfield. Much more downfield. Obviously, the further downfield you're getting targeted, typically, the higher your fantasy points per target are going to be, especially if you manage to catch those deeper targets. However, Tyreek Hill suffered a season-ending injury. Real ugly. Will definitely not be back this year. May not be back to the NFL ever. We'll see. In the 2 weeks since Hill has been gone, Waddle's A-dot has gone up to 14.1.
Yikes.
That is not only higher than Tyreek Hill's number was, and it is almost double what his number was before Hill went out. It is extremely deep. And the best part about it is his catch rate over these last 2 weeks, despite that heavily increased A-dot, has remained extremely high, 70.6%.
That's
high for a low A-dot guy. So if you're catching 70.6% of your passes and you're getting targeted that deep downfield, you are going to produce for fantasy, and we've seen it over these 2 weeks, 110 yards, 95 yards in those two games. I think that Jalen Waddle has become a locked and loaded wide receiver two at the very least, and has weekly wide receiver one ceiling for the rest of the season as long as he and Tua are both healthy.
That is key. Because honestly, later in the show, Waddle might come back up. And ooh. I do think, Okada, you are nail on the head when it comes to Waddle right now. I look at him in a different light. Because the same numbers you saw, I'm like, oh, I see what's going on. We always talked about Waddle as a wide receiver one, but just the 1B to Tyreek Hill's 1A. So I do think the talent was always there. The speed was always there. The confident hands he brings to that team. Obviously, now all the light is on him. Folks, Waddle is on a spaceship. He is on his way to be saving a lot of fantasy managers if Tua can stay healthy. It's crazy we're still saying this in 2025, but it's facts, folks. Like, come on. We got to be honest with ourselves. If it's not Tua back there, then Waddle obviously will take a decline. Number three, I like top three lists. Because top three lists, to me, I've always looked at them like, they're all good. Kind of like how we debate tight ends on this show earlier in the summer. Like, top three, it probably won't be any of these guys because it'll probably be somebody that's not even being drafted. And well, hello, here we are in the new season just like that. Okada, what we got for number three?
By the way, before I get to number three, shout out us, Laquan, because my favorite guy way above consensus was Jake Ferguson and yours was Tyler Warren. And they're like tight end one and two right now.
Yes, that's so freaking amazing.
Big. So, number three. Okay. The Eagles offense is worse than you might realize. And I say that despite everybody knowing there's a bunch of turmoil there, but that feels like largely off the field. And if you look at the box scores and you look at their record and you remember how they started the year, you think, well, I mean, they've been pretty good, actually. They put up a lot of points. Well, kind of. So over the first 4 weeks, they were 4-0, which made any of the issues about A.J. Brown not getting targets or Saquon Barkley not rushing for 150 yards not seem like as much of a deal, because they were 4-0. And they were averaging 27 points per game. And in week 3 and 4, they scored 31 points or 31 plus points back-to-back. So it was looking pretty great at the end of September. However, they have now scored just 17 points back-to-back. And if you look at their September, you actually remember they had multiple non-offensive touchdowns. Everybody might remember some blocked field goals that got returned all the way.
All right, now we're going to move. I knew it was coming. We got to move. Let that bus go by.
That 6 points, complete nonsense, should not have ever happened. So their numbers were inflated. If you look at their total season offensive points per game, so not counting special teams and defense, 21.5 offensive points per game. That is 18th in the NFL. They have scored only one rushing touchdown over the last 2 weeks combined. That is not Eagles behavior. And here's the craziest part. This shocked me, even despite me believing that their offense was worse than it seems. They are 30th in yards per game. The only teams that are worth in yards per game, Laquan, are the Bengals and the Titans.
Yikes. Let's keep it up.
The Buck.
The Bengals and the Titans are horrendous, and those are the two teams with fewer yards per game than the Eagles. I think that they are struggling quietly underneath the turmoil, and that is a bigger part of the reason for the turmoil than just A.J. Brown's not getting targets or Saquon Barkley's not rushing for a ton of yards, which, by the way, is a big reason for this dip in their production. Now, this week, they get the Vikings defense. The Vikings defense, for anyone who doesn't know, is monstrous. They are terrifying. You look all the way down every metric that they've got, it is a lockdown. So A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are not going to have a breakout game this week. I think Jalen Hurts is probably going to struggle. And if they're not scoring rushing touchdowns at a two-a-game pace, that makes his fantasy upside lower, even though you would typically expect him to be like matchup-proof pretty much. And I've been saying it about Saquon Barkley since the offseason, Laquan. I would say all year, but I was saying it from before the year. You don't get the season we saw last year from Saquon Barkley twice in a row. It just doesn't happen.
Physically impossible.
You regress in a number of different ways, and he has regressed in every way, except maybe volume. He's still seeing pretty significant volume, but it doesn't matter when the efficiency plummets like it has for him. He is so much worse in every efficiency metric. Yards per carry, yards after contact, missed tackles forced. It's real, real rough. So I don't expect things to change in a major way, and I think this team as a whole might even continue to look worse than we think it has so far.
Yes. I'm sorry. That's just me as a bitter Rams fan. But I love to hear that, to be honest. But honestly, it's really kind of one of those things that you've seen coming. We were talking about regression after putting up 2,000 yards. It's historically been just one of those things. Like, if you ain't Barry Sanders, like, it's not happening. And, like, a lot of people like to point to Derrick Henry in that season after, but he got injured. But still, like, that's a lot of wear and tear for even King Henry. Like, the injury just happened. Like, it's one of those things, like, with Saquon. Like, he played a lot of football last year, folks. He played all the way into February. Played in the Super Bowl. So, therefore, that 2,000 yards, that took a lot of grind, passion, proved the Giants wrong, that I am the man that you should have paid and kept. That's what a lot of that season was motivated by. Now, this guy's tired. This guy's ain't juking like he used to. He ain't doing the backward flip, reverse hurdle over anybody anymore. Like, he's human. So I do think, man, it's one of those things that I'm trying to move off Eagles players. We might have a question later in the show because we're introducing a new mailbag type segment where we're going to be talking to the fantasy streets. But next, we are going to get into some of these running back rooms, man. We are unsure about a couple of them. So we'll be right back. And we're back. Wabam. I like that, Okada. I like coming back from a break like that. For our listeners, my man Okada hit the drums, man. He was ready for it. But we're back, man. We're going to be talking about some of these backfields. The battle of the backfields, week 7, man. It leaves me very, very uncertain as a Chuba Hubbard manager. And I love Chuba. I love what he did last season. He showed that he could be an RB1, a solid RB2 for a lot of fantasy rosters and lineups. But now, Rico Dowdle, man, this looks like a beast that is grown to the size that I don't know if Chuba Hubbard could fight off. So somebody who has Chuba Hubbard as a fantasy manager, what should we honestly do at this point? Like, should we just hold on to him and try to trust him as a flex at the least? Like, Okada, like, I think some folks are really, really, really worried about what they're going to do with Chuba Hubbard rest of the season.
Yeah. Curiously enough, Laquan, this was number 10 in my 10 things to know this week.
Hey!
Chuba Hubbard's role is in danger after Rico Dowdle's explosions. That's the name of the headline. Wow. And it is. It's in major danger. Now, I will be transparent up front. I don't think that we can know exactly how this opportunity share, snap share, etc. is going to shake out once Hubbard returns, which, by the way, calf injury that he's still dealing with. So it's not like, it's not like he had an ankle sprain that he's going to get, spend his 4 weeks, be back and should be great. This is a soft tissue injury that tends to be lingering and annoying. So he may be out for a little while, especially with how Dowdle's playing. And then when he's back, he might ease his way into full role. But let's just look ahead to the future when he is fully healthy. On the one hand, he beat Rico Dowdle to the starting job in camp. Now, you could say that some of that has to do with the fact that he was the incumbent starter and Dowdle was a new ad. But realistically, I think this team evaluated both these guys and said, Chuba Hubbard gives us the best chance to win as the lead back. Now, having said that, Dowdle was already starting to ramp up in snap share before this two-week I'm the starter explosion. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if they were starting to realize maybe Dowdle was the better back. Now he has shown, who the heck knows, Laquan? I don't have an explanation. Do you have an explanation for what we've done in 2 weeks?
Listen, as right now, how I see it playing out, they're going to roll with Rico to get the first licks. Like, he will be the starter, but I don't think Chuba goes away. And this is why I still feel somewhat comfortable until I see it displayed on the field, because, like, Chuba done great things for this team, right? There's a respect level here. They're not going to have him sit on the sideline having less than 30% of the snaps. If he has less than 30% of the snaps, it would have to do with that calf injury. So already as a manager, that's in the back of my head. He's banged up. I'm not expecting him to come out this week and put up RB1 numbers or even RB2 or even be considered as a flex this week. So how I'm looking at this for the rest of the season, there's going to be a ramp-up period. There's going to come a time where he's 100%, not 100%, but you know what I mean, 100% ready to go and play to have a full workload. But it's going to be the next couple 2 to 3 weeks where it's going to be very weird and murky. So, like, I don't find myself putting Chuba Hubbard in this week or the following week, or we just have to see what Rico Dowdle, because on the other side of this coin, you can't tell a Rico manager right now not to start him. That's impossible to do after 2 weeks back to back, over 200 scrimmage yards, the first ever undrafted player to do that in history. Like, this guy has a motor. So I do think right now I'm happy as the Rico Dowdle owner, but knows that the party doesn't last forever. You know, I know that Chuba's going to be there, but I don't know if Chuba's going to have that same impact that he's had as the RB1 of that team. So honestly, it's a stalemate here, folks. This might be. You just got to let them fight it out. Just nobody break it up.
you might particularly appreciate this one, Laquan. This is one of the numbers in my article. 180 plus rushing yards and 20 plus receiving yards back-to-back games. Dowdle has done that. One other guy has ever done that, and his name is Eric Dickerson.
Yeah!
So this is what we're talking about with how good Dowdle has been. Like, it's crazy. So no, it's the really Panthers... crazy. Yeah, neither the Panthers nor fantasy managers can bench Rico Dowdle in the near future. I would agree with you. Basically, you just have to keep starting Dowdle and keep benching Hubbard until we see something significantly change, which I don't know that it will. I think the most likely outcome, this is actually important. You opened it with what should we do with Chuba. I think we should just be holding Chuba on benches. Mm-hmm. The bigger question maybe to me is, what do you do with Dowdle? Because I don't think he's going to hold, and you kind of said this as well, a 70%+ snap or opportunity share. And if that drops down to 60, 55, 50 with Hubbard being worked in, he's going to be worth less than his current trade market value over the rest of the season. So I would send out feelers if you have Rico Dowdle. I know that sounds crazy based off what he's done these last 2 weeks. And don't sell him for nothing. But if someone's coming along and offering you Garrett Wilson, because Garrett Wilson is hurt right now, and they need a running back and you need a wide receiver, I'd probably do moves like that. Or
the only way I do that move is if this is how this picture is painted. I'm good at running back. I picked up Rico off the waivers just because I knew bye weeks were coming up, or because I drank the Kool-Aid and, like, you know, somebody lost Chuba. I was playing defense. And if he's on my roster, anything less than an RB3, I don't care. I will do that trade. I will say this, though.
In most rosters.
Which he should be. But I will say this, though. If I'm a roster who lost James Conner, if I am a roster that has two running backs that we are going to speak about in a minute right now, I don't know. If I have a shaky running back room, I might be holding on to Rico as long as I can, because I feel like you're not going to be able to get that support once he's gone, because he's been your bang for your buck. He's been the overachiever. He's probably the reason why you won these last 2 weeks. So I can't see myself shipping him off unless I'm getting some big, big return back to help me at my running back position. So it's all different scenarios across the board. But I could tell you one that is just 10 out of a 10 annoying for me is when we go to Seattle and then you look at last week, Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker, they split 4.1 fantasy points apiece, 37 rushing yards apiece. And you're kind of scratching your head like, why are they doing this? They literally have one of the worst running backs when it comes to yards per carry, 2.6 yards per carry, which is dead last in the league in Zach Charbonnet, and they keep on running him out of there. So, Okada, I will ask you this as a frustrated Ken Walker manager. What the heck am I doing? I censored myself there, by the way. I was going to say something else. That's how frustrated I am.
Okay. First thing I'm doing is I'm getting on the phone and I'm calling up my state senator. I mean, Seattle coaching staff. And I'm saying, hello, what are you guys doing? Because holy mackerel, Laquan, I can guarantee you this team does not have anybody on staff looking at efficiency metrics, deeper analytics, etc. Because if they had, they would tell them Kenneth Walker is one of the most efficient, explosive running backs in the NFL. Like, he's not just okay. He's way up near the top in most of these metrics. Zach Charbonnet is the bottom of the barrel right next to Chase Brown in all of this stuff. He has been awful. So I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they trust Zach Charbonnet in pass protection a lot. Maybe they like him in short yardage work for some reason, and so he gets a bunch of short yardage carries, and that affects his numbers. I don't really think that's the case, though. It just looks to me like they enjoy like switching up drives or switching up pace and giving Charbonnet a bunch of looks for some reason. If you can't call up the Seahawks coaching staff, which most of us can't, here's what you can do. In my opinion, you hold Kenneth Walker and you pray for this team to figure something out and change what they're doing. Because if they do, and it only makes sense that at some point they would figure it out, Walker with a 15-plus carry a game workload is a fringe RB1 because he's been that good when he's gotten his opportunities. The problem is, so far, is he's getting stuck in this 50-50 split so often with Charbonnet. So I'm holding Walker. I'm not selling him because I don't think you can get a decent return on him right now. And there's more upside down the stretch than there is downside. If you can grab Charbonnet to hold on your bench just in case something happens to Walker, that's fine. You can do that. I would not start Charbonnet. You're basically just betting on a goal line touchdown. But this is just a hold and pray situation as far as I can. Like, that's all I can really honestly do right now, Laquan, is hold and pray with Kenneth Walker.
This is disgusting. And I say this because we know Kenneth Walker is the better back. We know Kenneth Walker can be a workhorse. The only reason why his touches should be limited is if he's battling injury. That does not seem to be the thing here. This seems to be, hey, we want you to break off a 60-yard run, get us right to striking distance, but you got to come out because we're going to stick Zach Charbonnet in there and give him three tries to get it in. Three! That's exactly how they are operating right now. And as a fantasy manager, I agree. You just got to put him on the bench. You hold. You're not going to be able to trade him. There's no way you're going to ship him off and get a decent return. Now, I will say this. If I can get a decent return, as in right now impact, for somebody we just spoke about, like a Rico Dowdle, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would do it in a heartbeat because I'd rather take that chance on having Rico Dowdle have good product out there in previous weeks, and the Panthers know they could rely on him as a workhorse. Get him in the passing game, get him in striking distance, rather than dealing with the headache with Seattle that don't have any idea what they're doing in that split. So that is my take. But next, go to the main event. Now, I've turned heel. I will be upfront and honest. I am not a fan of Travion Henderson. And I will be that guy now in the fantasy streets because I am done, Okada. Now, it's Ramondre Stevenson versus Travion Henderson against a juicy matchup, Okada. This matchup is, wow, they have a lot of turmoil going on in Nashville. So please, Okada, are you on the side of rolling with Travion Henderson for one last chance? One last chance in the starting lineup this week?
No.
Yes. Good guy.
I am not. I would start Ramondre Stevenson in this matchup because it is so juicy. I believe that Ramondre Stevenson will have a very good game. Now, I will say this, Laquan. I said no because in the leagues where I have Henderson, of which there are a couple, I have better options. And most people who have him should have better options. That being said, with how bad this matchup is and how much I think the Patriots are going to win by, you probably could throw Henderson in there in a flex in a very deep league and he'll get you like 8 points and it won't be the end of the world. But I'd prefer not to do that if you can. What I will say that is more important is I get a lot of questions about, can I drop Henderson? Can I drop Henderson? Can I drop Henderson? He's not doing anything. No, you cannot drop Travion Henderson. Everybody, please stop asking. Huck him on your bench. I don't even honestly care how deep your bench is. There are very, very, very few running backs in this league with more upside down the stretch and a better chance at finding that upside than Travion Henderson. You cannot drop him. You need to hold on to him. Could it be the case that the Patriots staff never makes the move? Yes, it could be the case. However, it could also be the case that Ramondre Stevenson gets injured, which we saw happen with Antonio Gibson, which has maybe opened a little bit of a window. And it could be the case that Ramondre fumbles another time or two. In fact, he's almost guaranteed
they don't
to do
care.
That. They well, don't care. They haven't cared. They haven't cared, but at some point they would have to start to care.
Nah. It can be literally as worse as Kyren Williams' goal line game victory fumble. They will look to Stevenson and be like, hey, man, we need you to get back in there. I need you to do it again because we didn't get it on camera this time. We need to do it again the same exact way. Okada, this is the most frustrating thing because as you were hinting at that you have better options, some of us don't. Some of us were believing what the fantasy streets were believing in the preseason. Some of our drafts didn't start until the late end of August, Okada. So some of us were believing that, hey, this explosive running back who has shown us nothing but in practice, the beat writers cannot stop taking video clips of him and putting it on the internet. And then in the preseason, we saw a 100-yard kick return. Unexcusable is the most disgusting thing ever. I don't care. I'm dropping him. I am dropping. Get off of my bench. Get off my team. I'm not collecting dust with a running back on the Patriots rushing offense. Wow. That is not exactly good. We're expecting for Travion to jump in and make this Patriots rushing offense jump from bottom of the table up to the top of the league. No, I don't even see that happening with one running back in this league that can do that. So I do think this, right? He will have that breakout week, folks. It's coming, but I'm not waiting. It's coming, but guess what? It will be on your bench. It won't be like, I can pinpoint this game, and this will be the breakout. Because, folks, we've done this for the last 3 weeks. He's had the matchup. We've gotten nothing. That has to be the worst feeling for a 3-3 team right now. That has to be the worst feeling to be 1-5 right now because of this decision. Okada, I'm speaking straight to the fantasy streets, the folks that are hurting right now.
Yes. Here's what I would say, Laquan, is important. I think this is a situation where we need a mindset change. I don't think we need a drop. I think we need a mindset change because we all came in with this mindset that Travion Henderson would be a top 20 fantasy back, top 15. He got up in ADP.
Top 12.
Yeah, he got up with some crazy numbers in ADP. I mean, I didn't even feel like they were that crazy because I just trusted the Patriots coaching staff to do the right thing, but they have refused to do that. However, he's clearly not that. You clearly can't start him. But if we have a mindset change to Travion Henderson is one of the highest upside and highest likelihood to find work attrition backs or handcuff backs in the NFL, then he is a must roster. like Tyler Allgeier, like RJ Harvey, like Rashad White, guys like that who they're rostered in most leagues. We would tell people to roster those guys on their benches, not start them, but roster them on their benches. Travion Henderson is the top of that list. So that's why I say you cannot drop him. I 100% agree with Laquan. You should not start him ever until we see something change. But to me, he is the best backup, handcuff, attrition back, whatever you want to call it, in fantasy. And you need to hold him on your roster with the hope that something happens. And if we get to week 12, 13, 14, and you're getting towards your playoffs, and this still hasn't changed, then we can talk about dropping him if you need to make moves through your starting lineup. But until then, he's like a better Tyler Allgeier option, in my opinion.
Okada, you need to write some fan mail to the New England Patriots. Like, you need to say, I'm your number one fan, and I need Travion Henderson to help the fantasy streets out because he is being talked about to be dropped. And again, I don't care to be that guy. I will be the bad guy. I am rooting for Travion. I mean, I'm rooting for Ramondre Stevenson because everybody's looked at him as the bad guy. No, he's the good guy. I know he's the problem, but he's the good guy in this, man. He is a good locker room guy to be able to go out there and fumble as many times as he has for them to put this confidence in him, to put that belief that he is the RB1. So I'm rooting for that guy because I want him to do good because I have him rostered. I have him as a flex this week. So I want Ramondre Stevenson to come out on top for the rest of the season and Travion Henderson collects dust on everybody else's bench. So we are going to take a break. This was a great conversation, man. I'm serious. You need to get that fan mail going. I mean, you ever write fan mail to somebody? Like I wrote one to Nelly. I mean, this is, you know, one of those things that you do as a kid, like fan mail. Like, why did I do that, man? Talking about the Rams. You going to the Rams game? Yeah, that's what that letter was about. And I'm obviously incredible. A big St. Louis Rams fan. So anyway, Okada, let's take a quick break and we're going to finish up with the Fantasy Streets, man, with some fan mail. And we're back. We're going to ask the Fantasy Streets. Now, if you go to FTN Fantasy's TikTok, man, we've been going live over there, taking a lot of Q&A questions, your start and sits, and obviously your trade advice. So why not incorporate it into our podcast show? And I get to share this with my co-pilot, my guy, Matt Okada, to get his insight on some of these trades. Now, some of these DMs were coming in, man, but the first one was on Twitter. Someone dropped Luther Burden. He and Jordan are available. Who do you pick up? Jordan being Jordan Whittington, right? Puka's not expected to play. I hope he doesn't play in London. But somebody just dropped Luther Burden. Would that trigger your mind and be like, hey, do I get him or do I get Jordan Whittington?
First of all, what is going on with your league mate that they're dropping Luther Burden right at the exact moment everyone should be picking him up? Exactly. That's strange. second of all, I'm grateful that you are here to interpret the Jordan there, Laquan, because I was like, yeah. Jordan Addison? Jordan Mason? I didn't even think of Jordan Whittington. Third of all, the answer is clearly Luther Burden. And I hope that you don't disagree with me as a Rams fan here. I think this is a huge moment to pick up Luther Burden. First of all, he has looked really, really good with his opportunity. Infinitely better than Alamide Zaccheaus, who's been getting an absurd amount of routes and targets in this offense. Yeah, I think Burden is reaching the point where he is going to leapfrog Zaccheaus and become the wide receiver 3 in terms of when they roll out 3 wide receiver sets, it's going to be Odunze, Moore, and Burden. However, having said that, DJ Moore, I haven't looked since waking up this morning, Laquan, at the news on what happened with him, but strange injury fallout from the Monday Night Football game where he ended up in the hospital. Yeah. I don't exactly know what's going on, but it's not good or encouraging for DJ Moore, and he also had just not been very good or very productive. So on Monday night, Burden caught 4 of 4 targets and took him for 51 yards with a 37-yarder. He's very good. They drafted him highly. I think this is the moment to, I'm not saying start Luther Burden, but this is the moment to pick up Luther Burden in every league you're in, tuck him away on your bench, and see if he does make that leapfrog over Zaccheaus. And by the way, not impossible if DJ Moore gets healthy that they trade him. Because they obviously have a bunch of options here, or trade somebody. and there's an opportunity for Burden to step up even further. So it's easily Burden for me, and I would suggest to everybody to go and get Burden and drop a lot of people for him.
That's my thinking. Jay, you need to go pick up Luther Burden. You'll get longer value in it because I think Puka is going to be out for 2 weeks. And guess what? Yeah. They have a bye week after the London week. So you're not going to be able to use Jordan Whittington if you wanted to. So I do think that Luther Burden gives you that longevity that you can acquire him now at the cheapest, being that he's on the waiver wire. And shout out to your league mate. What is he doing? What is he doing? But the next one we got now, it's a PPR league. They're 3-3. Now the context matters here. This seems like a panic move right here, right? Do we trade J.K. Dobbins for Jalen Waddle? I lost Garrett Wilson and Terry McLaurin. Now, Terry should be trending towards being healthy, but you just lost Garrett Wilson. You have to make some moves right now, Kata. Are you giving up Dobbins for Waddle?
Okay. The only context we're missing here that's important is what the rest of your running back room looks like.
Mm-hmm.
If you
let's just assume it's good at 1-2. Okay. They're out of the way. Because in order for me to interpret this, to read this, like getting rid of Dobbins, who's been one of the most reliable kind of RB2s, like I kind of feel that you're letting that go, but then I see the context of it. It's like you lost two wide receiver ones essentially. So
yeah,
I get it.
I would make this move and I would make it quickly before the other person changes their mind. Because to me, I talked about it earlier with Waddle.
Yeah.
I think Jalen Waddle is a locked and loaded wide receiver two rest of season, potentially high end wide receiver two with weekly wide receiver one upside, especially in PPR. This makes him even more valuable. And on the flip side of that, while Dobbins has been quite good, I wrote an article for FTN early in the offseason, Laquan, about rookies and their schedule for production and contribution across their rookie year. And every position gets better as the year goes on, gets more involved, gets more productive. I think RJ Harvey might find his feet over the course of the next month or two, and Dobbins will begin to lose a bit of his value. So to me, this is a smash move, honestly, regardless of context, except that if you don't have another starting running back, I would be trying to ensure you shore that up somehow as well.
Yeah, because when I try to think back of like where J.K. Dobbins was in the summer, like I'm just trying to think like where his ADP was. Like essentially, he was an RB3. So I do think there must be a situation where they're 1-2 or just locked in. Like Tim Yelly 23 on TikTok, if you're listening to the pod, I appreciate you supporting the show. But give us a little bit more context and what your running back situation is, because I do kind of want to follow up on this because it's pretty interesting. But let's go to another one. PPR, I mean, I don't think I need to ask for that anymore, Okada. Like, when people tell me PPR, I kind of assume because that should be the new standard, but we still have some cavemen out there, right, playing standard leagues. Like, what are we doing? Like, you might as well bring out the notepad, and I'm getting off. But anyway, the trade is Xavier Worthy for A.J. Brown. They're worried about Rashid Rice coming back. This is Mike JB on TikTok.
You should be worried about Rashid Rice coming back, and I would make this trade. I understand everything about A.J. Brown. I, just in the earlier in this show, espoused why I believe the Eagles offense is worse than we think, and A.J. Brown is part of that struggle. None of that matters in this particular trade. I would still want A.J. Brown over Xavier Worthy. Most of it is Rashee Rice. Some of it is the fact that Xavier Worthy's like, okay, he was fine. He has not been that amazing. Yeah. Even without Rashee Rice there, and now he is going to see a dip in his target share. There's no question about that. It was his first three games, I believe, as a rookie that Rashee Rice was healthy last year. Obviously, that was his first three games, so it's hard to really use that as a benchmark for what to expect. But he was doing diddly bupkis, and Rashee Rice was getting like 10 targets a game
that
first three-week span. Yeah. So I don't know. It's not going to go back to being that extreme, but I don't think he's going to be a reliable wide receiver two. I don't even think he's going to be a reliable wide receiver three. I think he's going to be more of a four. And A.J. Brown's not great or reliable right now for what he should have been either, but he has upside that Xavier Worthy doesn't, and he should be seeing 8 targets, 9 targets a game, which he's been doing, which is going to be more than Worthy. So I'd take that side.
Word. Okay. I would agree because, like, first looking at this, I'm like, I don't know, man. The Eagles got a lot of that circus going on. I don't know if I want to buy a ticket to that. But I'm just assuming now, because, again, when I see these without context of looking at other rosters, I'm thinking, how could this roster be formed right now? This is probably a situation where he drafted Xavier Worthy as his wide receiver two or three. If it's his two or three, either way, and I can acquire A.J. Brown, being that he has shown us at times that he could be a wide receiver one. I mean, we all look at last season. He was able to almost be on track and on pace for 1,400 yards and 9-plus touchdowns. I do think that A.J. Brown is still here. So if I can acquire that, I think I would make this trade. But Worthy, you're right. He has not been over the top exciting without Rashid Rice. And I think when Rice comes home, man, save us, King. I think it's going to be all green lights for that man. One more.
Go ahead. Really quick, Lacon, one more thing to note. There is a very, very decent chance that AJ Brown gets traded before the deadline. There's been a lot of hubbub about the New England Patriots. I would love that. I think the Patriots need to make some aggressive moves to compete right now. If he goes and becomes the wide receiver one for a team that actually throws the ball, aka Drake May, who's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year, that is a huge bump to his value, in my opinion. So even if he stays on the Eagles, I would do this, but there is that chance that he goes somewhere and becomes a top 10 wide receiver rest of season.
Why go to Walmart when you can go to Whole Foods, my guy, man? Why not send A.J. Brown to Buffalo with Josh Allen? I don't want Josh Allen 2.0. I want the Josh Allen. Send A.J. Brown to Buffalo, man. Send him upstate, man. Look, get him a fur coat. I think that would be an interesting situation if we want to start
speculating. They need him too.
I think we should speculate next episode. I think that's where we're going to go with it because trade deadline is coming up. Like, folks, it is around the corner, and I think there will be some moves to be made. Can we get Jacoby Myers to San Fran? Maybe. Who knows? But one more before we get up out of here, man. Half-point PPR, which should be important because we're talking running backs right now. Would you trade Chuba Hubbard for Chase Brown? This is Michael Ant on TikTok. This is nasty work. We're feeling the same way. Ugh.
Bro, oh my gosh. Do you want to trade a bag of dog poop for a bag of cat poop? It's like, what are we talking about here? Yes, I guess you're doing this. I would be I'm curious if Michael Sant got this offer or if they're suggesting this, because I don't imagine that the Chase Brown manager is offered this. But if you can make this happen, I guess yes, simply because in the, at this point, 10% chance that Chase Brown and the Bengals figure things out, I think it's very low, but it is a chance. He has massive, massive upside that Chuba Hubbard simply does not have. Mm-hmm. So I don't think either is going to be good. I don't think either is startable. I think they're both like 10 carry guys without much efficiency, but there is that small chance that Chase Brown suddenly figures out how to play football again, or his offensive line does, or both. And if that happens, Chase Brown is obviously suddenly very good. So this is ugly, but I'd rather have Chase Brown on my bench for the upside. But don't start him. He's bad, bad. Do not start him until we see something change.
This seems like a situation of two league mates that are just down bad right now. Like,
yes.
You want to trade poop sandwiches? Okay. You got it. But that I do think the half point PPR is important here. I think they're looking at it as if they have Joe Flacco, who has a pretty high check down rate. I do think that Chase Brown gets the edge over Chuba because Chuba's not going to catch as many balls as Chase, being that he's the RB1. We have not seen Tajay Brooks. Samaje Perine has been there, been out, been there. I don't know what he's doing, but it's like a safe situation for me to paint a picture and be like, at least I have targets on my side on this trade. So I like the side that's getting Chase Brown. Chuba Hubbard is just disgusting right now. It's just real nasty work.
But it is also worth noting that while Flacco didn't throw the ball to Chase Brown a bunch in his first game, he did throw the ball 45 times and he threw it downfield enough that it seemed to maybe open up the run game a little bit, and Chase Brown had his highest yards per carry of the season at 4.7. He only saw 9 carries, which is not good, but maybe there's some hope.
Yeah, I mean, with Joe Flacco being able to attack downfield, that's why you see T. Higgins being able to put up more yardage. Like, T. Higgins is a guy that eats downfield. He doesn't eat close to the line of scrimmage. I mean, with Jake Browning, he had less than 5 yards per target. Like, what do you expect him to do? Like, T. Higgins is not a yak guy. So Joe Flacco, I think he's going to be able to extend that, to be able to get T. Higgins more yardage, and then Chase Brown might find some wiggle room. I mean, the schedule does kind of loosen up for him. So maybe, I don't know, maybe Chase Brown's a buy-low situation right now, Kato. Maybe we'll have to discuss that on the next episode as well.
Yeah, it's he's more of a buy-low than a sell-high, obviously, because good gracious, is even bad, but I'm not trying to get him.
I would say this. I could probably give off Kendre Miller for Chase Brown right now. That's as low I would probably think that can get that deal done.
Yeah.
But that's just how bad it is. But it is what it is. But look, this has been a great show, man. Please make sure you guys are liking and subscribing to the YouTube channel. We are in the comments. We are in the Fantasy Streets Tapped In. We see you guys on all social media platforms. And next week, we definitely want to hear you guys' voices and your trade situations. I mean, I'm not against your start and sit questions, but please give us more context as well when you hit the DMs up or if you tag or at us on the timelines, man. I mean, Okada, obviously, it's at Matt Okada, right? It's nothing different on anything else, right? I mean, where can folks find you?
Yeah. Is that Matt Okada? I think on Blue Sky, it's like Matt. It's whatever the Blue Sky is. It's a little different.
There's actually a wrestler called Matt Okada, right? Like, I sometimes search it, and then this wrestling guy comes up.
There's a wrestler. There's a wrestler. Yeah, I don't know what his real first name is. I don't know. But there is an Okada wrestler who's pretty popular. And then now there's one other Okada, Ty Okada, the Seahawks safety. Him and I are homies. Him and I are homies on Twitter now because
That's dope. Oh, hold up, man. We got to talk about that. That's awesome, man. But listen, please make sure you guys are liking and subscribing to the YouTube channel. We're trying to grow this thing, man. But this is a great show, man. It's the FTN Fantasy Show, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.